All right. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had spoken to Abram. The scripture declares, verse 4, when he departed out of Haran, he was 75 years old. When he left with his wife, Sarai, nephew Lot, all the substance that he had gathered with the souls that he had gotten while they were in Haran, and he went to Canaan. The God of covenant grace toward all those that he's everlastingly loved in Christ Jesus, the God of mercy, who loves to show mercy, delights to show mercy, faithful God, faithful to his word, faithful to his people, blessed all his people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was he who directed Abram to go to Canaan. And the scripture, given the account we've read before, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, the scripture says in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 12, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now, the carnal mind, the carnal religious mind, is what I'm talking about, would surely teach that everybody that is obedient to Christ will always be rewarded with an outpouring of prosperity. Natural prosperity is what they're talking about. Now, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All that is needful for the elect of God, the Lord gives. All that's needful, they give. But the religionist will say that you obey the Lord, and you're going to be blessed with honor and respect, land, wealth, health, peace. That's going to be the experience of your life. They promise that. And if you're not, it's because you're not obedient. But that wasn't what was revealed in God's Word as being Abram's experience. And every believer experiences. Now, all the circumstances, I realize, are the details are different, but they all experience a general way in which the Lord deals with His people. And Abraham's experience, as a type, as a picture of God's sheep in this world, walking by faith, did just what the Lord told him to do. He left Haran, and he came into the land, according to God's direction and leadership, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The scripture declares that Abram had come past unto the place of Sychem, and there was no recorded notice being taken of him. Now, he's in a strange land, according to the scriptures. He knew not. He obeyed God by faith. He went, not knowing whether he went. Now, he's come to a place that the Lord has given direction. But now, he's going to have to walk by faith. He's going to have to walk, trusting and waiting on the Lord. And he's going to have to wait for the circumstances that he viewed to be not what he saw by sight, because obviously he's in a place where the Canaanite dwells. And there's obviously no outward or apparent hope of peace. We're strangers. We're pilgrims in this land. But lest Abram should lose hope, the God who promised, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And lest he should lose hope viewing the Canaanite. Now you think about this. Now you go, you know, you go somewhere and everybody that's outside of those that were with you, everybody is not of the same mindset as you are. And you're in a place and you're there by God's direction, but they're hostile. They're a hostile group. And lest Abram should lose hope, the Scripture says in verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." What mercy. Abram had the Lord actually appear to him. It's to see in the manner of a man. He saw him. The Lord was pleased to appear unto Abraham. And he heard his voice. And the seeing and the hearing of the Lord telling Abram, "This is what I'm going to do for you," would be the very ground of Abram's peace and comfort. If the Lord is with us, we can settle down. What a promise. Now listen to the promise. "Unto thy seed will I give this land." Now, hold your place right there. Turn to Acts 7. Acts 7. Listen to what the Spirit of God moved upon Stephen to say. We read a little bit of it the other night, but let's look what he said. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 5. Now, this is what the Spirit of God revealed concerning Abram's promise from the Lord. The Lord has said in Genesis 12, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." The Scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 5, "And he said, Men and brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country from thy kindred, come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he, that is the Lord, gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." So here's an amazing promise. He's in a place inhabited by the Canaanite. And what the Lord is telling Abram is this: "I'm going to give this land to your seed for a possession." Now, that means that God's going to have to dispose of the Canaanite, that was Canaanites, that was in that country. They would now dwelling where Abraham was, and God said, "This is the land that I'm going to give you." But now he's telling him, "I'm going to give it to your seed." And he was 75 years old. And he didn't have any children. And Sarai was barren. Now, what a word to the natural mind of impossibility. That to the natural man, that just doesn't really seem to be able to be possible. That is, how can life come from an older woman who's past the age of childbearing? And here's Abraham, old man himself. But this was given to Abraham as a word by which God would try and show, proving to Abram God's faithfulness to give him faith, to believe. This man, Abram, by faith, believed God. He believed what the Lord had said. My wife is barren. I'm 75. She's past the age of childbearing. And God said, I'm going to give this land where all these Canaanites are. I'm going to give it to your seed. And you know what Abraham did? They're building an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The Lord said, verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land, colon, and immediately Abram built an altar unto the Lord. Abram worshiped God. Worship. Worship. He believed Him. He obeyed Him. And surely worshiped Him as the Lord would be worshiped. Now, I want you to hold your place again. Turn over to Exodus 20. The Lord reveals something, and surely Abram was possessor of this revelation also. But the Lord, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 24 to 26, Abram built an altar. And listen to the instruction of the Lord on how this altar was to be constructed. Exodus 20, verse 24 to 26. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now, remember, the Scripture reveals in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar. We have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Now the altar of the believer is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The precious altar. We have an altar. The Lord Himself, being God, who came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, assuming flesh, the form of sinful flesh. The Scripture says, Hebrews 9:14, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to God. So when we talk about the altar, the New Testament reveals the believer's altar to be Christ Himself. He's the altar, He's the sacrifice, He's the great high priest to His people. He is the one pictured in type and shadow of what Abraham was doing right here. The Lord gave specific instruction as to the construction of this altar. It wasn't left up to the mind of the person building that altar. He built it. Abraham built an altar. But he built it as per the Lord's instruction. It must either be an altar of just earth, dirt, or stone. And it had to be done without the workmanship of man, involved without trying to improve upon it. The altar that God would accept was going to have to be from that which God had provided. Remember when Abraham and Isaac, his son, was going up and, you know, Isaac said, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb, the sacrifice. And so here, it was to be built out of dirt. It was to be built out of dirt or stone, that which was of the Lord's provision, the Lord's creation. And it was to be used in its construction with no human effort or merit to be added to that which God instructed. If you did, it was polluted. If it was built out of rocks, you just take those rocks the way they are and you build them and lay them on there. If it was dirt, you mound it up. But don't you try to improve in any wise. That altar of stone, if it was built out of stone, it could have no steps going up. Why? Lest a man think that he can by degrees ascend up into a greater position of standing or sanctification before God, thinking that he had the right to ascend up upon the altar of Christ. But to do so would be to do nothing more than just show his spiritual nakedness before God, his unworthiness. We come to Christ God's way by faith alone, believing God, trusting Him alone, who Himself tread the winepress of God's wrath on behalf of His people. That's what Isaiah 63:3 said. So here's the life of a believer. Here's the experience of a believer. We're in a world that's not our home. We're strangers, we're sojourners, pilgrims in a world that Scripture reveals hates us. Hates the God that we love. Hates the gospel that we preach. And here was Abram in a place, and the Canaanite dwelt there. But God assured him. God assured him, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give this to your seed. And immediately, he built an altar and worshiped God. And verse 8 says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, I read that verse of Scripture time after time after time after time, asking the Lord for some instruction. And I think the Lord has given me some instruction on it. There's something to be said. You know, isn't it amazing how exactly we've been talking about the experience of Abram, the experience of a believer. He's directed by the Lord. He's got to walk by faith. He's in a world that is inhabited by those that know not our God. He's going to have to wait on the Lord. The Lord's directing him. And here he's removed from thence. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I know this, that whenever he moved according to the Lord's direction. But it was amazing to me, and I knew that there was not insignificance in beholding exactly where he was. He removed from thence, again as the Spirit directs. You know, when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, we've looked at this before. They would be going from here to there. You start tracing where they went. You look at a map and look where they went. And they went all over the place. It was about, 3 days journey, Neil, from Egypt to the land of Canaan. If they just walked straight across. 40 years. They were in there. You know why? You remember why? They sent spies into the land to they were there 40 days. And all of them but Joshua and Caleb came back. All of them said, "We can't do it. There ain't no way. There ain't no way. They're giants. We can't do it." And the Lord said, "For every day that you were there, you're going to walk in this wilderness a year." That's why 40 years they were in the wilderness. And so he's been moved. He's coming, and he's going to. And we remember while they were in that wilderness, when the pillar of a cloud moved, they moved. Pillar of a fire moved, they moved. If it didn't move, they didn't move. So here there, he was removed from where he was in Sychem, the plain of Moreh, and the Lord had appeared to him, said, "I'm going to give this to you and to your seed." He built an altar, and he was removed from thence. Now look where he went, exactly where he went. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent on a mountain. Bethel on the west, Hai or Ai on the east. Now, Bethel means house of God. Hai or Ai, you remember that little incident that happened when Achan had gone up? They were going to fight with the city of Ai. And the men told Joshua, "It's just a little old place. Don't send everybody. We can take them. We just send a few of us. We don't need to all go." 3,000 men went. And they turned their backs on the men of Ai. There was sin in the camp. Achan had found this Babylonian garment, hid it. The Lord had told them, don't touch anything. Don't touch that. But that's where they are right there. Now, Bethel means house of God. Ai or Ai means heap of ruins on the east. And Abram's on a mountain, the scripture says. That's what it says. It says he removed from thence unto a mountain. And so he can see. He's got Bethel on his west. He's got Ai on his east. And whenever you look at this, I see a couple of things in here. Just some observations that I've seen for myself, and I pray that they're honoring to the Lord. Pray that they'll be a blessing to you. The scripture says he looks and he can see Bethel, the house of God. He can see Ai. And so, but now remember, he's in the land inhabited by the Canaanite. Those who would be removed, those who would surely be the means by which the Lord would try Abram's faith. And look what he does on this mountain. There's Bethel, the house of God. There's Ai, a heap of ruins. And the Canaanites, they inhabit the land. And the scripture says in verse 18, he's on that mountain, Bethel, Ai, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now he's in a heathen place. He's in a place that people that don't know God. And he built an altar and sacrificed unto the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. You know, truly the fear of man bringeth a snare. But Abram believed God. I thought to myself, he built that altar on top of a mountain. It could be seen. He wasn't ashamed of the God who called him, had given him a promise concerning the land. And he acted. He acted by experience. That's what a believer does. They believe God. They're not ashamed. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation." I thought, there he was. He said he went up there on top of that mountain, Bethel, Ai, and he worshiped God. But there's something else that I saw that I think in Abram's experience that is the same with all believers. I'd like for us just to consider in closing, as we look at this picture of how the Spirit of God led Abram to this place. And you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It's profitable. It's profitable to us. It gives us life, gives us instruction for rebuke and reproof. Exhortation. It gives it. Here he is, and Abram is a picture of all God's sheep that walk by faith. And he's on a mountain. He is following God. He's doing that which the Lord has commanded him to do. And there's something that I see as a picture and a type. And it's this thing with the continual struggle that every believer has in this world. There's an observance of two natures. Bethel, the house of God, sets forth that place of a believer as he is regenerated and indwelt by the Lord of glory. That new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24. Abram could see Bethel. He, on the other hand, could see Ai on the east, a heap of ruins. And is this not a fit description of the old man, who from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it? And from the position of Abram in his pitched tent. Now remember, that tent set forth this temporary dwelling in this world. We're sojourners. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But he lived in tents. He traveled in tents, temporary, set up in a temporary manner, journeying here and there. And from where he was, he could behold both places. Believers see both natures. One for sure, the other one by faith. Two natures that never find common ground. Two natures, not insinuating that Abram was a double-minded man. You know, when we talk about two natures, I got thinking about this today. And this is a question that went through my mind. What's the difference in seeing and knowing and believing that there's two natures in a man, in a believer, and that same man, that same believer that knows and believes that there's two natures, that he's not a double-minded man? What is a double-minded man? One that is unstable in all his ways. One who wavers. Now this is a description. This is a definition. Double-minded man. One who wavers. One who is unsure. One who is unsettled. One who is uncommitted. That's a double-minded man. Abraham was not a double-minded man. He was in a place where he could see the house of God in a heap of ruins. And every believer sees that, but he's not double-minded about it. He's sure about it. A double-minded man is one who wavers, who is unsure, unsettled, and uncommitted. Now let me tell you what Paul the Apostle said under the inspiration of the Spirit of God concerning the beholding of these two natures. For I know, Romans 7:18, for I know, now that's not the words of a double-minded man. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. There's that new man. I can truthfully say, for every believer, I want to be obedient. I want to follow the Lord. I do. I want to walk after Him. I want to be pleasing unto Him. That's not the mind of a of a carnal heart. That's not the mind of a carnal heart. Abram could see, he knew, both places. For I know that is me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't know. I can't. By the Spirit placing Abram where he was, we learn that the old man is there. He's there from birth, even especially seen in the vessels of God's mercy. That old man that sets forth the proof of indwelling sin, the presence of sin, a sin that does not have dominion over us. That was proven to my heart when he said he removed, verse 8, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And what did he do? Now here's the evidence of a man that sin does not have dominion on him. Two natures? Yes. Yeah, they're both there. Are they both real? Yeah. I see in me, old wretched man, that I see in my flesh that there was no good thing. But that sin doesn't have dominion over him. How do you know? There he building an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. The Scripture says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? To call, to beseech, to cry unto from the heart by faith upon the Lord Himself, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as He has been pleased to discover to His people, reveal to His people His will, His attributes, His character, Himself. This is what it is to call on the name. That's what it means, the character. The character of the Lord. To reveal to them God's good pleasure to save His people. Those who believe, those who have been given faith to believe, to save them from their sins. Now, in closing, remember, and this is the experience of every believer, Abram was in a place where men, women that didn't know God resided. That's where we are. But God was with him. And God revealed himself. And God spoke to him. And we come together. We come together twice a week by the grace of God. And through these scriptures, God speaks to his people. The gospel is proclaimed, the message of God's salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God blesses it to his people. And they hear. They hear his voice. They hear and they believe him. They believe him. They follow him, led by the Spirit of God. They worship. And after Abram had called on the name of the Lord, Abram journeyed, verse 9, going on still toward the south. Now there's the third mention of Abram being removed from a place that he was, moved somewhere. He left Haran for Canaan. He came to a place called Shechem to reside there, later in Bethel and Ai, and now he continues his journey going on toward the south. We're never going to be allowed to forget. This world is not our home. He's going. We are never going to forget. To walk by faith is our life. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be like that until the Lord takes us out of this world. Our experience is going to have to be that change is all around us, but He who never changes is leading us. Our circumstances may change. We may see things differently. I ain't from around here. But I can tell you this, this is where I'm convinced the Lord has brought me. He who never changes changed my location and has put me where I am now, but He's leading all of us unto Himself, ever teaching, ever preparing us to soon inherit the kingdom prepared for God's people from the foundation of the world. Those little short few verses, what a wealth of revelation as to the experience and the life of a believer. Abram was a man that suffered. He suffered. I mean, he went through this. Well, we're going to look at some things. His nephew, they had a falling out. He's getting ready to go into Egypt. And he's going to tell them that Sarah's, I'm not going to preach it. He's got some stuff coming up. But he believed God. He believed God. And that's where we settle down. You know, the Lord's leading me. I'm thankful. Wherever He leads me, it's going to be for His glory, my good. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Okay, Gary.